If you will, turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth. You got the first five books of Moses and Joshua, Judges. Ruth. It's the eighth book in the Bible. Growing up, my pastor, when I was young, would say, "I think this is going to be good for you." And I thought, oh, we have bouillon. We got that better than bouillon. I think it's the same as regular bouillon. But they say it's good. And I said, well, okay. You're a little more anxious, ain't you? I think this will be better than bouillon for you. I pray so. I want to look at the message of grace here in the book of Boaz. We call it the book of Ruth. It's about Boaz, isn't it? But I want to look at the message of grace. The work of Naomi, what she does to and for Ruth concerning Boaz. The message of grace. I want to give you these characters here and what their names mean. That's real important. It was a blessing to me when I looked these things up. They're in Bethlehem, Judah. That's a house of bread. They go down to Moab. Moab, remember that was that incestuous child of Lot. Rebels, heathens. Land of heathens. Amalek, his name means God of kings, lowercase k. Naomi, pleasant, agreeableness, grace. Grace is her name. Mahlon means made sick. Chilion, judgment, destruction. Orpha, stiff-necked. Ruth, a female friend, or the most precious thing, an added associate, one made a friend. And Boaz, I don't know why I didn't look this up before, I did yesterday. It's from an unused root of uncertain meaning. This name, it ain't a name like it. It ain't never been used before. It's a pillar. One of the pillars is named Boaz in front of the temple. I want hope where you seem to learn his name by learning what he did, who he is and what he did. We should be on the lookout for our Lord Jesus Christ in every chapter and every verse of his word. Look for who he is and what he's done. Grace is going to be the one that teaches that. His grace towards us. Look here in Ruth 1, verse 1. Ruth 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. Well, nothing's changed. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, house of bread, went down to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi, grace. The name of his two sons, Mahlon, sickness. Chilion, judgment. Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. They're from Bethlehem, Ephratah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. There's a lot of facets to this diamond. There's a mosaic to these scriptures. Each little tiny piece that paints that broad picture of Christ. And I've heard this preached a couple different ways, and it's right and it's good. But here, Elimelech, that's a picture of our father Adam. He was in the house of bread. He brought us to Moab. And you know what? We went with him willingly. Naomi and them children, they weren't kicking and screaming. She wasn't complaining the whole way. She said, "That business is booming. Let's go." Okay. We'll go with you. We went down there with him. And boy, did we continue. So they continued there. We continued in that land. Verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpha, stiff-necked. The name of the other, Ruth, the added associate. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. You remember these names? Sickness and judgment were put away, both of them. Stay with me. And the woman was left, and her two sons and her husband. The only original one left out of this is grace. Sickness has been put away. Judgment's been put away. This is, the work of grace is the same. I didn't grow up in false religion. I believe in grandparents. I had believe in parents, and I had a faithful pastor, and I grew up under the sound of the gospel. And grace is the same for me as it was for Ruth and Naomi, as it is for you, as it is for anybody. Because it's needed, because the sin nature ain't no different. A fellow told me one time, he said, "You must not have many grave clothes." I said, "I got a grave tuxedo, buddy. I grew up and I made a work out of not working. We don't believe in works. Watch this." I did. You young people screw underneath the gospel, you'll have there's some certain trials you'll have that other people don't. But this grace was left. Verse 6. "And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard," that's us too, isn't it, "in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Grace declares that Christ is victorious, that our sin sickness is forever dead. Our destruction and our judgment's been put away forever. And the Father's provided for his people by visiting them and giving them Christ our bread. That's the message. And it's God's grace to believe what you've heard. It's God's grace to tell what you've heard. That's a faithful pastor. It just tells me what's inside of this book. That's what your pastor does. I know you're thankful for him. He just tells you what God says. That's a miracle of God's grace that does that. That's a miracle. Christ is the payment. He's the reward. He's the cake, and we eat it too. He's all. You think everybody's heard about this bread in Bethlehem, haven't you? The house of bread. They've all heard, Paul said. Like the prophet said, who's believed our report? The Lord's people believe. They do. We just tell it. Some believe this report. Naomi did, verse 7. Paul said in Romans 10, he said, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She'd heard about what the Lord had done, heard where this bread was. Verse 7. "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Grace says, go away if you can.
Yeah.
Think about that. Grace doesn't shake people in the parking lot and beg them to come along. Our Lord's not a beggar.
No.
We're the beggars. The world's got this whole thing flip-flop, don't they? Grace doesn't use trickery. Just proclaims the word. It just says there's bread in the Lord's house. If you have the need. David told you about that. If you have a need, if you're hungry, if you have a need of justification, that's what we need. We need life in him. We need atonement, at-one-ment with the God, holy God we've offended. Who's going to do that? The bread will. There's one. One. He did it one time. He does it the same for everybody. And he did it perfectly. What a peace there is. If you can have peace in Moab, stay in Moab. Our Lord did that. That was what mankind would call the worst ministry on face of earth. Lost 5,000, they walked away. And he looked at the 12 left. He said, you want to go too? And he said, Lord, where will we go? To whom? To whom will we go? That's a blessed wedding to be called to it. Verse 9. Grace continues. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husbands. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with thee to thy people. The friend, the added associate, Ruth, and the stiff neck, Orpah, both of them have the same outward profession. But one of them has saving faith. God gave one of them saving faith. If someone's sane, they want to go to heaven and not go to hell. Anybody wants that. You want me to take you out back and just whip you real hard? Well, no. Who would want that? They might even shed some tears over it. Judas and Esau did. But when they find out the only thing there in the house of bread is Christ the living bread, they don't want nothing to do with it. The Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't either. I ain't above them people. The Lord came to me and made me hungry. And He said, come here. I'm going to feed you bread. Oh, He's gracious. Saving faith clings to Christ. It has to. The gracious one. And I want to caution too. If you come to this house of bread, don't come because your family comes. Come for the bread. You'll have family there. Don't come for social events. Come for the bread. There'll be plenty of social events there, but come for the bread. And don't come because people you like's there. You come for Christ the bread. You may have family, and we'll have joyful gatherings. We have this whole weekend, and there's people I like. I love you, and I like you. But we're here. That's not the motivation. We're here for the bread. Grace teaches us that. We remember Mark 10, the Lord said, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle or than a camel. Rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And then apostles said, who then can be saved? Was them apostles loaded? Were they wealthy people? No, they wasn't talking about carnal riches, was it? Self-righteousness, pride. He said, but you give up all these things on this earth. He said, you'll receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children. You come to this house of bread, everything will be provided. And that's so.
Yeah.
That's so. You all come out to California, and I got a Hyundai Elantra. You can put as many miles on it as you want. You own it. You got a house you can stay in. You come sleep in our couch or wherever you want to. Our text says there in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. This one made a friend clave to her. Orpha must have just took a different path. She was on her own journey, wasn't she? No. No. Judas betrayed our Lord with a kiss, didn't he? That kiss of self-preservation, self-exaltation. Orpha gave lip service. She gave a tear or two. And she's left grace. And she left the Lord's grace and the Lord's provision and Him visiting with His people and His doing and His will for something else. It don't matter what something else is. Ruth, the friend, clave to grace and wouldn't let go. Just like Jacob did. I latch on. I ain't letting go till you bless me. I have to. It's not a choice. It's a necessity. Luke 18, even that bad judge, he gave in to that pleading widow. She wouldn't leave him alone. And our Lord said, that unjust judge did that. Shall not God avenge His own elect? We plead to Him. He said, I'm going to do everything, and you're going to inquire of me for it. I'm going to do it, and you're going to ask me to do it. There's a certain blind man later there in Luke 18. He kept crying out, thou son of David, and they rebuked him to hold his peace. And he just cried so much more, didn't he? It's necessary, a need. Verse 15, and then she said, Naomi said, behold, thy sister Orpha, she's her sister-in-law, you gone back to her people and unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. We are saved against our will with our full consent. I've heard that my whole life. We're made willing, ain't we? David wrote that. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When a true sinner is joined to Christ by the grace of God, there's unity. It's the same. Go anywhere you want in the world. I don't care. You go to Malawi, Brother Willie out there. You go down to South Africa. You go to Australia. It don't make a difference. Philippines, wherever that gospel is, it's the same and there's unity. And it's nice when you don't have anything in common. I don't have your culture. I don't like your sports. I don't like anything. Well, what we got left to talk about? The gospel. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I'll go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also if I ought be put, but death part thee and me. And when she had saw that she had steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. I remember my pastor, when I was young, said, The message of these four chapters is not devoted to some pagan girl who stuck by her mother-in-law's side. That's not the thing, is it? No. Many people walk away from this and they say, boy, they have high thoughts of Ruth, don't they? To truly understand it, to understand the text, we must have high thoughts of Christ in it. Yeah. Yeah. Naomi didn't try to run her off. That's been established. She ain't going to leave, is she? Now it's time to get to walking. Grace is going to go for a walk with her. Boy, I thought about that a lot. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? There had to be a first step made towards Bethlehem. And they walked a long way. And there was weathers and there was hills and there was valleys. And they had to walk quite a bit before they even got out of Moab. That's a journey, wasn't it? What a thought. Grace of God begins to go with us. Walks with us, loves us, makes us willing. And his word says, I will walk in them. I will walk in them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Most Spurgeon said that's the Lord's watchdog. Goodness goes ahead, mercy goes behind to cover the sin. Well, here, grace is right next to you, walking with you the whole way. Verse 22. And Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came unto Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. In the beginning. Not at the end. They was hoping for some grains. And barley was the cheap stuff. That was either for horse fodder. And later on down the road, they turned into beer. But that was for poor people, just castaways. And they was hoping just to get a couple morsels. Well, it's just started. Everything's ripe. And they just started pulling it in, ain't they? Today is the first day of the barley harvest. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. We read there in Lamentations 3. It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed because, it's the root of grace, because His compassions fail not. It's because of love. They're new every morning. Which one? His mercies or His compassions? Yes. Yes, they're new every morning. That harvest has just started. Tomorrow morning, the day after, if He's pleased. Great is thy faithfulness. All this redemption, all this life, all this mercy, it's all centered, all this grace is centered on one man, Boaz. Boaz. Chapter 2, verse 1. The law said, you remember that. I know your pastor talks to that. For a kinsman redeemer, there's three things required. You had to be related. You had to be able to redeem, and you had to be willing. That's the three requirements. Ruth 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, mighty, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. His name's something you ain't never heard about. Boy, this is new. Grace tells us that. Oh, he's wealthy. He's kin to us. And you're about to find out the motivation if he's willing. It's out of love. It's out of love. If I was back home, I'd say, well, no, we're going to look at chapter 2 next week. That's a good way to end. I told Cody that this morning. I said, if you get a good stop, so we'll look at the rest of this evening. But I want to go through here and I want to look at the work of grace. What grace does. It's on the sign out front. We talk about it a lot. It does something. If the Lord has something, it does something. If He has a servant, they ain't sitting idly at home playing video games. They're going to serve. If He has a trophy of grace, it's going to set up on the counter. And it's going to say, He's gracious. We're going to do something. If they're yoked, you ever seen some cattle yoked and they're not pulling something? We're going to do something. Grace does something. And it's precious what it does. Grace tells you that you've been unknowingly gleaning in this Redeemer's field the whole time. You've been walking this earth, breathing His air and His lungs, and everything's His. It is. Look here at Ruth 2, verse 3. Ruth chapter 2, verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Ruth did. And her happenstance. Our Lord's a masterful author. A storyteller. He speaks languages we understand. And she just so happened to light on part of a field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Ruth may have thought it was hap. That's where we get the word happenstance. You know the word happy comes from happenstance? People won't be happy all the time. You ain't supposed to be. The word don't even mean that. It's just every now and then. But Boaz set his affection on Ruth before she ever saw his face. She wasn't even considered looking at him. That's all in the field. She's there just to get some food. She's a beggar. She's out gleaning the fields. And he asked, he said, who's that gleaning down there? And they told him, he said, you give her a little bit extra. You drop her a handful of purpose. Yeah. Purpose. Not a handful of accident. A handful of purpose. And he said, those parts, they didn't brought the sheaves in yet. They didn't even cut. If she walks over and eat, you let her eat anything she wants. Wherever she wants, you let her take it. You leave her alone. He set his affection on her. Verse 8, Ruth 2:8. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Don't you go anywhere else. You stay right here. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and thou go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. I'm going to provide somebody to draw water for you. You know what that means? Larry, I thought of Moses. Moses got mad. He said, do I have to come to this rock and fetch your water? Yeah, that's my job. That's our job, isn't it? We'll just get you water. It ain't my water. I didn't make the water. And he said, I provided men to give you all the water you want. I gave you meal on purpose. Verse 10. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, have you said this? Is this the same? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why me? Whole world saying, why me? God's people say, why he? Why me? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? I ain't from your country. I ain't like you, and I ain't worthy to be in your presence. Why me? I'll tell you why. Grace confirms the Lord's grace to us. It takes grace to tell us that grace is for us. Look down at verse 20. Ruth 2:20. And Naomi, Grace, said unto her daughter-in-law, Ruth, this friend, this associate, added, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. It's your Redeemer that's done that. Why me? Because he wanted to. He's related to you. He's able and he's willing. Because he loved us first. There's grace before grace. You can give fancy theological names like prevenient grace, right? There's grace before his grace. There's grace during grace while he's given us grace. And there's grace for the grace that hasn't graciously come to pass yet. God, what you want, that's what it is. Grace guides us. It confirms the Lord's grace to us. And grace guides us to be with those that experience the same grace. The Lord's, it's the Lord's mercies. He tells us those things. Look at verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. It's good to be in the Lord's house in unity. It's good to be with his people. That's good. It ain't bad advice for me to ever tell anybody to do whatever you can to be where the Lord's exalted and where his people are, and do whatever it takes. Amen. That's good advice. God said so. It's right. And I ain't got to whip nobody. You want to be there. But there's a whole mess of y'all come from a long way away. You want to be there. Grace guides us to be with those who've experienced that same grace. And grace seeks to give us rest. I worded that specifically. The intention of grace, the Lord's grace comes to us and gives us rest. Look here in chapter 3, verse 1. Ruth 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall not I seek rest for thee? Lord said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy labor. I'll give you rest. What's grace do? Look to him who's your rest. Look to him. Shall I seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee? I'm looking for your goodness. Looking out for you. How's grace going to give us rest? Well, grace won't. But it'll direct us to Christ our peace. It'll direct us to Christ our rest, our finished work. That's what it does. The Lord's purposed all this, isn't it? Ruth 3, verse 2. And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. So I'm going to show you where rest is. This is a good place. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down. We've read that a lot of places. Get you down to the floor. But make not thyself known to the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. You go down. You go all the way down to the Redeemer's feet. That's grace talking. Grace is saying that. Boaz came in from supper, and he went in, he lay down, and he was startled a little bit, but Ruth's only response was to beg for mercy. She didn't have a good plan. She had a business model she's going to give him, a prenuptial agreement. She just begged for mercy. Look at verse 9. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid." Ruth 3:9. He said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid." You cover me. I don't want my own covering. You cover me. I need your covering. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. There's no earthly picture that'll perfectly portray the holy God, who he is and what he's done. We're on this earth. But we're given tokens. He brags on Ruth a little bit. But we're given these tokens. That's what the whole Passover. They're celebrating this stuff. The Jews Passover now. But all that was given, Lord said, "I give this feast for a token. It's just a picture. That way, when your children say, 'Daddy, why are we doing this?' And he said, 'Well, son, the Lord gave his son for us to live. That's bloodshed.' Just so you have that to tell them. Circumcision, that's just a token. This really happened, but this is a token for us to see Christ in it." Yeah. Well, there's another kinsman first that had claim on Ruth. Somebody else had hold on her first. In Ruth 3, verse 12. Ruth 3, 12. It says, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, if he can't do it, won't do it, ain't able, or isn't willing, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." That's the law. That's the other thing that's got a hold on us. If we're going to be redeemed, if we're going to be justified, if we're going to be sanctified, if we're going to be glorified, the law must be dealt with first. Yeah. And we ain't the ones going to deal with it. And we ain't going to deal with it for somebody else. He's got to do it. Our Redeemer has to do it. How's that going to happen? That's a good question. 4,500 years ago, it was asking Job, the oldest book there is, isn't it? How can a man be just with God? We've offended him. We broke his law. We can't make up for it. We can't keep it in the future. How? How? How can a man be just? How can a man born of woman be made clean? We've offended him. His law. Grace comes to us. When that happens, well, I'm a sinner. Oh, God's holy. I'm in trouble. It takes God's grace to come to us and says, "Be still. Just sit down." Old Maurice used to say, "Go eat a ham sandwich. Get in a shaker. You'll be all right. Calm down. Lord's doing this. Redeemer does this. Wait on the Lord. He'll deliver you." Ruth told up Naomi all the things that this man had done for her and everything he said. And down in verse 18. Ruth 3, verse 18. "Then said she," Naomi's speaking. Here's what grace says. "Set still, my daughter, my added associate, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not rest until he have finished the thing this day. You're going to see the finished work today. You tore all the pieces. Sit down. You're going to see your Redeemer's finished work today. You're in a trial. That's the purpose of the trial. We're going to learn something about Him, who He is and what He's done. Now sit down. It takes the Almighty God of heaven and earth to be gracious to us to press to do that. For Him to tell you that's a mighty work of grace. Christ had to give His life for us to receive that grace. That's something, isn't it? I thought of a song whenever I read that. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord's thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day. You ain't going to get a sunburn. Nor the moon by night. You ain't going to get a moonburn. You ain't going to be up all night long tossing and turning. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. This ain't just a lady getting married. A long time ago. She didn't marry up. That's how God saves sinners, isn't it? Yeah. Chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. Verse 1. Then when Boaz went up to the gate, he sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, to whom he said, Ho, such a one. Turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. That law came by. He said, sit down. We're going to talk. And he took 10 men. Why do you reckon it wasn't 9? He took 10 men of the elders of the city and sat. Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which is our brother Elimelech's. Remember Adam, our offspring? This is his offspring. Verse 4. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it for the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. If thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I'll redeem it. I can bring them to the house of bread. I can be the way. Verse 5, then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field in the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess. That sinner, that rebel, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And this ain't just talking about a piece of land. You've got to give life. You have to marry this woman of whoredoms. And give life to her. That law says, wait a minute. I can't bring forth lawmakers. They broke the law. If they broke the law, I can't bring them in. There's no life I can give them. If there's no life in, there's no life I can give them. I just declare what's right, and I declare what's wrong. I can't give no life. That's what Paul told us in Galatians 3. He said, if there had been a law given which would have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin. You broke it. The law can't bring you in. That tarnished the law. That marred. And I can't give life. You have to be alive already. The Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in, not faith of, but His faith. His faithfulness. By His faith might be given to them that believe. Ruth 4:6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself. I cannot redeem it. Boaz, that name that's never been up. There ain't a name like it. This is a name above every name. He said, I'll redeem it. I'll redeem it. You're going to be marred. It'll mar you, and you can't handle that. He said, so I'll be marred for them. I thought a lot about that. Donnie, you've seen some stuff. I've seen some people. He said his vision was marred more than anybody. His face was. I've seen some people in bad shape. And I thought, so? He said so. How could that be? I'll tell you how it was. He looked like Kevin Thacker in the sight of God. It was horrible. It was as bad as it can get. He bore me on that tree. And he said, I'll be marred for him. Give him to me. There was a transaction at this gate. There was with the 10 elders, and work was completed, and shoes were taken off, and Darwin's going to tell you all about that. I don't have to. But verse 9, Ruth 4, verse 9, and Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, that pagan rebel girl, the wife of Mahlon, the wife of sin sickness, I purchased to be my wife. The Father purposed it, the Son purchased it, and the Holy Spirit comes and tells you about it, proclaims it. I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon the brethren. And from the gate of his place, you are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate, you want that great picture? That's the cross of Christ. That's where this took place. All the people gathered at the cross, and all the elders, people that's been around this for a while, new and old, and they said, we're witnesses. You did all the work. You did what nobody else could do. The name that nobody's ever heard. Boy, that's something. This is something. We're witnesses. Well, the Lord gave Boaz and Ruth a son. And Naomi, Grace, rejoiced and nourished it. What about that next generation? Here comes Grace to rejoice in it. What the Lord's done. Nourish it. Nourish it. It says in verse 16, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Just nursed it. Sincere milk. That's what was given to it. And that boy's name was Obed. Obed was his name. Look down at verse 21. And Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. Out of David came our Redeemer. This ain't a good story about marrying up and shoe throwing and everything else. This is what the Lord does through His grace to His people. And it's the same. Is it any different with you? I love how it does that in chapter 1. I've been doing too long. We was out in the desert, didn't know no different. And we was about starved to death. And then grace comes along and talks to us and comforts us and brings us to Boaz. And then and little by little, we see everything. We've been in his field this whole time. He's done everything. Now we're just a witness. And then you're going to go tell somebody else, and you're going to have an Obed, and you're going to nourish it, and the church is going to use to grow them up. I hope that's a blessing to you. We'll be with you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.